السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، فمن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوق ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتق الله حيثما كنت، وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها، وخالق الناس بخلق حسن، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Most respected elders and brothers, our mothers and sisters who are present, and those who may be listening over streaming. Once again, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity to gather on His name and in order to remember Him. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the objectives for which Allah ta'ala has created us. So alhamdulillah, we are extremely fortunate that we are engaged in fulfilling one of the objectives for which we have been created, and that is to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith of Rasulullah sasam, Nabi Kareem sasam mentioned, مَثَلُ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ وَالَّذِي لَا يَذْكُرُ مَثَلُ الْحَيِّ وَالْمَيِّتِ. The example of the person who remembers Allah ta'ala and that person who does not remember Allah ta'ala is like the example of the living and the dead. So in other words, the person who is engaged in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala, he is alive. And the person who is not engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person, so to say, is as if he is dead. So he's not fulfilling the objective for which Allah ta'ala has created him, or her for that matter. Of course, this dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we always mention this, quoting our Kabirin, that the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only confined to this particular majlis. That only a person who attends a majlis of dhikr, then he or she is engaged in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But rather, a person, he looks at his life at any given moment and time, which command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being focused on him at that point. The person is fulfilling the need of his family. The person is engaged in assisting the orphans, the widows, in fulfilling the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We would say that this person also is in the dhikr and in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who at the time of salah, now if he sits down with the tasbih in his room, and now he makes tasbih and somebody asks him, "Bhai, it is the time of salah, why don't you go to the masjid and perform your salah?" So he says, "No, I'm making the dhikr of Allah." In fact, an incident comes to mind, which I heard from Hazrat Moinus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that there was one particular doctor who, he wouldn't perform salah. So when somebody spoke to him that, "Brother Dr. Saab, we don't see you in the masjid." So he says, "Look, what is the purpose of salah? The purpose of salah is to remember Allah ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran Sharif, Aqimis salata li dhikri, that you must establish salah to remember me. So the objective of salah is the remembrance of Allah. So what I do is, I see what time it is salah time. I don't allow any patients to come in. And then I just sit on my comfortable chair and I remember Allah ta'ala." So now he thinks he is in the remembrance of Allah ta'ala, but in fact, his action is actually inviting the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now though he may feel that I am engaged in the dhikr of Allah ta'ala, but that was not the command of Allah ta'ala at that time. The command of Allah ta'ala was that he had to come out of his comfort zone. He had to go to the masjid. That it was cold winter morning for the menfolk. They had to go to the masjid and they had to brave the cold, especially if a person is staying in Johannesburg or the Cape Town, or if you go to Europe, some of the countries, what kind of temperatures they have at the time of Fajr. To brave the cold, a person has to make some kind of sacrifice. So now the person who makes that wudu, and he walks to the masjid, but he doesn't have a tasbih in his hand. He's just walking to the masjid. This person is in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his action is more beloved to Allah ta'ala than that person who sat on his comfortable chair and thought he was making the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or that woman for that matter, who perhaps she had a child who may have been sick, or her husband may not have been well, and now she felt that, you know, let me sit in i'tikaf, it is the last 10 days of Ramadan, so I will sit in i'tikaf, and the husband and children, they know where all the things are in the kitchen, so they will carry on and sort their own lives out, but I am engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Versus that woman who went into the kitchen, she tired herself in fulfilling and seeing to the needs of her children, fulfilling the rights of her husband, putting happiness into the hearts of her children, seeing to the needs of the children, engaging with them, stimulating them, and fulfilling the needs of the husband. She will be more beloved in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than that woman who sat in i'tikaf in one corner and thought she is doing something very, very great. So that is why it is so important that we also get the knowledge of deen and we learn from our ulama-i kiram. Otherwise a person, for case in point, this particular doctor, he thought he'll apply his own logic and do his own thing, and though he had a lot of academic knowledge, but he did not have the knowledge of deen. So a person sometimes he has to make mashura and seek guidance that, look, this is the thought that comes in my mind. And sometimes these are tricks of shaitan, that shaitan will make a person think that he's doing something good. They term it as nurani hijab, that shaitan puts something that appears to be good to deprive a person from greater reward, from greater thawab. So shaitan knows that this woman will get much greater reward in seeing to the needs of her family, or this doctor will get much greater reward if he comes out of his surgery and walks to the masjid and performs his 2 rakat salah or his 4 rakat salah, versus sitting in the comfort of his chair and taking the tasbih, and even if he's got an electronic tasbih too, then too it won't make any difference. But he thinks he's making the dhikr of Allah Ta'ala, but this is a trick of shaitan. So coming back to what we were saying, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for his remembrance, and again the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala is not only confined to this particular majlis of dhikr. The dhikr of Allah Ta'ala can transcend and extend to many things. Sometimes a person wants to attend the dhikr majlis, but he has got his wife who is unwell, and she needs his assistance, she needs his support. At that time it is more important for him to see to her needs. Nevertheless, we make shukr that Allah Ta'ala has gathered us here to remember him and to revive our hearts. We should say that, you know, I am that person who is being referred to, that I have got the dead heart. I am the one who has got the dead heart, and therefore I need to bring some life and some soul and some spirit into my ruh, into my heart. And that is why I am attending these programs, for firstly my own benefit, and if some life comes into a person's heart, then what will happen when there is life in the person's heart? Then the person will be able to differentiate. The person who has got life in his body, now if he is pricked with a thorn, a person just pricks him with a thorn, immediately he jumps. The person can feel heat, he can feel cold. The person's, his senses now are functioning at his optimum levels. In the same way, the person whose ruh, his spiritual life is alive, then you will find that this person will be able to sense that when he disobeys or she disobeys the command of Allah Ta'ala, she will feel uneasy, he will feel uneasy, that I have done this action, I have disobeyed the command of Allah Ta'ala, I am feeling uneasy, I am not feeling comfortable. The believer, one hadith of Rasulullah SAW suddenly comes to mind, wherein Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. That if your good deeds bring happiness to you, brings you pleasure, gives you a sense of fulfillment, إِذَا سَرَّتْكَ حَسَنَتُكَ وَسَاءَتْكَ سَيِّئَتُكَ, and the sins that you commit, the mistakes that you make, the errors that you make, it makes you feel bad. You feel bad about it. فَأَنْتَ مُؤْمِنٌ. then this is a sign that you are a kamil mu'min, you are a believer, you are a true believer. So a sign that now that spiritual heart is alive with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are now in the Mubarak months of Hajj. And there are many, many lessons that we can learn from this Hajj. Though we may not be performing Hajj, and many of us, alhamdulillah, have had the good fortune of performing the Hajj. And we make dua that Allah Ta'ala takes those who have not gone for Hajj, Allah Ta'ala take them for Hajj. Remember, it is not wealth that takes a person for Hajj. It is the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes there can be so many obstacles and boundaries, but when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants a person to go, the person will go for Hajj. Nevertheless, the lessons that we learn from Hajj, and ulama ikram explain that Allah Ta'ala has brought the months of Hajj almost immediately after the month of Ramadan. Just basically 1 month of the month of Shawwal, and immediately the months of Hajj commence. And remember, in those days when they would commence the journey of Hajj, and sometimes a month or two in advance they would commence the journey. They would be traveling by caravan, they would travel by day, set up their tents, and sometimes it would take them weeks and months, and even those who went by ship. And sometimes they would, weeks in advance, they would leave, the ship would dock at port A, then port B, then port C, until finally it would reach the shores of the Arabian Peninsula. So it would take a very long time. So the months of Hajj would commence well in advance. A person would prepare well in advance. Today, alhamdulillah, with the advancement of technology, how things change. But even then too, there is some special khasiyat and barakat in these months. So we derive lessons, and ulama ikram explain that why did Allah Ta'ala bring the months of Hajj immediately after the month of Ramadan. The reason for this is the month of Ramadan was the month in which we developed the quality of taqwa. We had spiritually uplifted ourselves. And now the person now is at his highest level. And now for him to commence this Mubarak journey of Hajj, this journey of the servitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the abdiyat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the person will go to those Mubarak lands and he will annihilate himself. He will completely annihilate himself. One of the specialities of Hajj is man is created, I mentioned in the month of Ramadan, man is created from certain elements, from the element of fire, from the element of water, from the element of soil and sand, and from the element of air. These four elements are found in the creation of man. And each of these elements have got qualities. If you look, for example, water has got the quality of greed. We saw in Durban now when we had these floods, and that flood waters came and it devoured swaths of land. Sometimes an entire building was devoured by that water. So the water has the quality of greed, that it just devours and devours and devours, and the flood waters come, they just take everything in its path. So you will find that man also has got this natural greed in him, which needs to be controlled. He needs to keep it under control, at bay. And if the person doesn't learn how to control that greed, then we find a person, for the greed of wealth, the person is prepared to destroy and devour the property of the widows, of the orphans, of his sisters even, just so that he can get a larger portion. As one Mufti Saab mentioned, that you will find the person that when it comes to the time of inheritance, and now he works it out that if this estate has to be, you know, distributed in accordance to the Sharia, then I'll get a nice good portion. So now he will be the champion in front to say that we must make sure that this inheritance is distributed in accordance to the command of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But now suddenly, when he realizes that by him and by this inheritance being distributed in accordance to the government regulation, then he's going to get a larger portion, then suddenly he changes his tune completely. He says, no, we must abide by the regulations. Now we must make sure we abide by the regulations. Why is a person prepared to do these things? Why is he prepared to violate the command of Allah Ta'ala? It is nothing but greed. That the person wants more and he wants more, and he's never going to be satisfied. So the element of man of greed. Then you find another quality and another element found in the creation of man, and that is this aspect of fire. Allah Ta'ala created shaitan from fire, but man also, the element of fire was used in the creation of man. So you will find that the quality of fire is pride. See, the fire goes high, it goes very high up. So that is why that Shaitan too had an excessive amount of pride within himself. And hence when he did little ibadat, lots of ibadat he did, but what happened? He already had pride, and unfortunately that pride just intensified. And hence when Allah Ta'ala commanded him, usjudu li Adam, that now make sajda to Adam ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, aba wastakbar, he refused. He disobeyed the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, khalaqtani min nar, asjudu liman khalaqta tina, that what? Must I make sajda to one who has been created from mainly sand? So he refused. He said, fire is better than sand, and I am not prepared to bow down before something that is, in my opinion, inferior. So this is, man too has got this quality of pride. And then if you look at another element that is used in the creation of man, and that is this aspect of soil. And you find that the quality of soil is that it has got the quality of miserliness. So how is that? You'll find that all the treasures, the gold and silver, a person, if he wants to get that gold and silver, he must dig and he must dig and he must dig. Then too he won't find it. Sometimes the person digs right deep down, and how hard he has to like almost force it out from the ground. Lots of effort to try and get. Like the person who's miserly, just to get little out from him is very hard. As in Urdu they say, the person is makki choos. Makki choos. Simple translation is he's miserly. So in Urdu, makki means fly, and choos means to suck. So what happened with this person? One day, he was having his tea, and whilst having his tea, so one fly fell inside. So the masla is that when the fly falls in, then the person should dip the other wing as well and then remove it, because one wing has got a sickness or some sort of bacteria and the other one has got a cure for that. So one will balance for the other. So he did that, and now when the fly was coming out, he caught the fly. He says, wait, I can still see some tea on you. So he sucked the fly nicely, and whatever tea was left, he sucked it out. So that too, he wasn't even prepared to let that little bit go to. Very hard for him. The person who's miserly, hard for him to that 5 rand or 2 rand that's going out is finished. The person feels so much of pain. Next 2-3 days too, he's going through, his heart experiences palpitations because of how hard it was to give that. So miserliness, you'll find that man too, hard for him to spend. So there too, this is a weakness of man. And finally, air is used in the creation of man. And air is the quality of uniqueness. Uniqueness. You find a person too, he has a tendency of feeling very special and very unique about himself. Very quickly. If somebody praises up, then we feel like we're very, very unique. So Allah Ta'ala has made it such that in the Sharia of Islam, there is a cure for each of these maladies and each of these weaknesses. Take Salah for example. That a person in Salah, that element of pride is being annihilated and destroyed. That the most, respectable part of the body, meaning the head, it's the most respectable part of the body. But before Allah Ta'ala, we take that head and place it on the ground, metaphorically and figuratively, as if we are placing our head at the feet of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Of course, Allah Ta'ala does not have feet. But this is a figurative, that the person completely annihilates himself. So that Salah too has got the speciality that it can slowly but surely remove the pride from a person. And especially if we get that devotion and concentration in our Salah, then we'll find that after our Salah, we'll feel absolutely humble before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then if we take the aspect of miserliness, so subhanallah, zakat, the person has to, whether he likes it or not, he has to take out that 2.5% of his wealth, and he's forced to give it out. He has to give it. So that too is helping him eradicate or curtail that aspect of miserliness. And of course, the various ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then if we look at this aspect of, for example, the greed that a person has got. So Shahru Ramadan, the month of Ramadan, and the fasting. So now the person can't eat. He wants to eat more, but he can't do it. So that aspect of greed also is being controlled. And finally, that feeling of uniqueness. That the person feels, I am very, very special. There's no one like me. So now what happens? Hajj. Now when the person goes for Hajj, now in the plains of Arafat, whether he's a doctor, whether he's a lawyer, whether he's the king, whether he's a Moli Sahab and Qari Sahab and Haji Sahab, whatever he may be, but he too will wear that simple shroud, those 2 sheets. Now when you look at the plains of Arafat, you can't say that that person is a Mufti Sahab or that person is a professor. There's no way you're going to know. And the person looks around him and says, who am I? What's so special about me? In before Allah Ta'ala, who am I really? I'm absolutely nothing. So that feeling of uniqueness is eradicated through this amal and through this activity of Hajj, that the person completely annihilates himself. He makes himself and he develops that realization, or she develops that realization that I am nothing. Now the woman folk to all, everyone wearing black, there's no real difference. So nevertheless, we make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us these beautiful sifat and qualities, and that is of humility and the quality of you know, being generous. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the quality of generosity, and inshallah over the majalis Allah ta'ala will, these various topics will come about. But nevertheless, Allah Ta'ala has made it such that these months of Hajj come immediately after the month of Ramadan, because our ruhaniyat, it is at its highest, generally speaking. So in order for us to quickly move from this amal of fasting into the Hajj, and now the person is prepared for Hajj, he's prepared for this Mubarak journey of Hajj. So even though we may not be going for Hajj, there are so many important lessons, because after all, the Hajj is not an objective in itself. There is a greater objective for Hajj, and that is the person gains the ma'rifah and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person removes and eradicates that feeling of uniqueness. The person completely, you know, develops the quality of taqwa within himself. He learns to purify and cleanse himself. The person, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, مَنْ حَجَّ لِلَّهِ فَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَكَ يَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. That the person who performs Hajj, and he conducts his Hajj in this manner, that he does not commit any sin, nor is there any indecency, nor any fighting, arguments and fighting, then raja'a, this person returns as if the day his mother had given birth to him. I'm completely free of sins. So we have to also make an effort to conduct our lives as far as possible in such a manner that we do not invite the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just as a person should not be fighting during the days of Hajj, similarly, he should try in his day-to-day life to control himself or herself from getting into arguments, from getting into fighting. In fact, one hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I stand guarantee for a palace right in the center and in the midst of Jannah, in the midst of the gardens of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. What is the palaces of this world, or the palatial homes of this world, or, you know, sometimes the person say this person lives in an estate, you know, he lives in an estate. You enter, it's a gated complex in an estate. You enter, and they got boom gates and such security, and what beautiful gardens. But at the end of the day, all of that will come to an end. It is all temporary. Everything in this world is absolutely temporary. But the gardens of Jannah, subhanallah, one cannot even imagine what the gardens of Jannah are. May Allah Ta'ala take us all there. The beauty of Jannah is nothing compared to the beauty of this world. Nevertheless, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I stand guarantee that for a person to get a house right in the center of Jannah, who leaves out an argument or a fight, even though he or she is correct. You are right in the argument, 100%. But you can see that this argument, you're not going to get anywhere. It's just going to argue and just going to create more animosity and nafrat and more hatred. And sometimes you say, brother, you know what? Leave it, whatever it is. Let's change the subject and move on to something else. What is the point in arguing? Yes, if somebody asks you for some advice, that, listen, I'd like to know with regards to this thing. This is my thought with regards to it. I'd like your opinion. I'd like your advice with regards to that. Then a person is free to offer their advice. But what's the point in arguing? And most of the time, these arguments, the person, the opposition, instead of accepting, they go back and they become more staunch in their views. You achieved absolutely nothing. There was no point in it. Now the person, so much of time is, and sometimes nafrat and hatred is created from it. And today, there is no shortage of that. Hazrat Mu'inus Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, and that was that time, he said that everyone is angry with everyone. And the parents are angry with the children. The children are angry. He used to say it like this. The parents are angry with the children. The children are angry with the parents. The brothers are angry with the sisters. The sisters are angry with the brothers. Everyone is just... The teachers are angry with the children. The children are angry with the teacher. As it uses, sometimes I feel like just telling those couples who are married, that why don't you just get one, you know, boxing ring and just box it out. Finish. Box each other and carry on. So, they don't want to sort out anything. No one wants to sort out anything. And sometimes the person, just to make the opponent upset, they'll say such things that don't even make sense. One person came, he told us that, you know, I just so sick and tired of all these things, I just want to hang myself. So Hazrat told him, no problem, what size rope you need? Now of course you can't say that to every person. Hazrat Mu'inusab knew the person, he had some sort of relationship. Otherwise someone would say, how could he do such a thing? It's so insensitive. Hazrat knew who he was talking to. So that person immediately, the whole thing turned into a joke. He said, Mom, all my depression is gone just by that one statement of yours. So this was the deep insight of Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali. Nevertheless, so you find in this world that everyone is fighting with the next person. Where do we have time to add more, you know, more fumes and more fuel to the heat that's already all around us? Rather carry on with our work, continue with our work, focus on our akhirat. Otherwise the person, the whole time is just trying to figure out how is he going to win this argument. What are you going to achieve? That is why Shah Aziz al-Hasan Majzoob Rahmatullah Ali used to say, قدم سوئے مرقد قدم سوئے مرقد نظر سوئے دنیا کہا جا رہے ہو کدھر دیکھتا ہو. So he says, قدم سوئے مرقد. You are walking towards your grave. All of us, each and every one of us, we are walking towards our graves. This is a journey. This dunya is a safar, it's a journey. A person travels from Durban, his manzil maqsood, his destination, his objective is to reach Johannesburg, for argument's sake, as an example. So that's his manzil maqsood. He's traveling to reach Johannesburg. Along the way, there are lots of things that will take place. So he says, قدم سوئے مرقد. We are all, our manzil and maqsood is the hereafter, it is Jannah inshallah. So that's our real abode. That Ma'ashir Visab Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali wrote a kitab called Shoqe Watan. That the person has got zeal and enthusiasm for his home country. As you find people of a certain country, foreigners especially, and they get together and they start talking about their hometown, you know, this year and how is to enjoy. You find that they have inclination towards their hometown. So we all came from Jannat. Adam ala Nabina alayhi salatu wa salam, his actual home was Jannat. So our real home is Jannat. So we should have that shock that we want to go back to our home. This is just a temporary. A person travels, stops in Harrismith. Sometimes you stay over the night, book some, you know, accommodation that's available. Sometimes that accommodation is very beautiful. Sometimes half the things in the accommodation are not working. And the person carries on. The bed too is maybe not as comfortable as his bed at home. As the person says, home, sweet home, is nothing like home. So now the person went, stopped at that place, the bed is not right, that's not right, this is not right. But he doesn't worry because he knows this is temporary. I'm just here for a short period of time and then carrying on. So the person, when he stops at that destination, but his gaze is at his manzil and maqsood, that I'm going to reach my final destination, which is Johannesburg. In the same way, he says, قدم سوئے مرقد, we are walking towards our grave. That's our final home. That's our final destination. This beautiful house that you've built and the assets that you've acquired, this is just temporary. We'll pass it on to the next person. The person who bought a house, so he feels it's like one of the greatest achievements that I've acquired my own asset, my own house. I've got a sense of security. But sometimes that turns out that there's no security in that home. And sometimes the person just built his home and he didn't even spend, I know one particular person, that they just completed the renovations of the home. It just came into the home and he's just telling the wife that, you know, alhamdulillah, now everything is completed. And within a short period of time, matter of few weeks, he passed away. So now imagine, the person just now managed to complete the renovations of the home, yet it was only muqaddar for him to spend maybe 1 or 2 weeks in that home. So he spent 1 or 2 weeks in the home, he passed away, and now the sons took over. So actually, we are living in timeshare apartments. That's what the reality is. You'll have the home, then the pass on to your sons, then they'll live for a while, and then they pass on to the next. It just carries on. But our real home, the qabr. So he says, قدم سوئے مرقد نظر سوئے دنیا. He says, you are walking towards your grave, but your gaze is at dunya. In this world, if somebody is walking straight, and he's looking behind, what's going to happen? The person was going to knock into something. There's some accident. He's going to make some mistake, some error. This is why we find people are making such big mistakes. That how could a person do such a thing? How could a person usurp the property of an orphan? How could the person, you know, say these words to the next person? How could the person usurp the property of widows and elderly people and pensioners? How could a person do such a thing? The person made such a mistake and made such an accident because his nazar was not on akhirat. His nazar was focused on dunya, and hence, there's it. Banged straight into the first light pole, finish. Banged his head. Now he doesn't know what's happening. So in the same way, all we need to do is change the focus of our gaze. It doesn't mean now, some people feel that when you're going to only think about akhirat and you're only going to think about your grave, then how are you going to function? How will you open up a business? How will you, you know, have children? How will you get married? So subhanallah, if you look at it, the Sahaba ikram, alhamdulillah, they had children. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had wives. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam conducted himself in this world. In fact, what will happen is a person, he will get more enjoyment and more fulfillment. We cannot understand these things, but the person will actually treasure his family even more. That he'll realize that I've got a short period of time with them. I need to make the most. Am I going to sacrifice everything in my business and then lose time with my children? So shouldn't I rather also be focusing on the upliftment and spending quality time with my children and investing in my children and investing in fulfilling the rights of the poor and the needy and the widows and fulfilling the rights of my neighbors? Life will become much more fulfilling. And Allah Ta'ala will give the person a kind of enjoyment which we cannot understand. This feeling of fulfillment is not something which it's not something which is tangible. You can't go to the shop and say, listen, I would like, 5 kgs of fulfillment in my life. So it's impossible. This is something which Allah Ta'ala puts into the heart of a person. May Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala grant us this quality of, as they term as sukoon dil, that the tranquility of the heart. The heart experiences tranquility in the obedience of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So the lessons of Hajj, inshallah we will continue the weeks to come, but the lessons of Hajj, one of the important lessons of Hajj is that the person should ensure that he maintains the sifat and this quality of taqwa. And that's the consciousness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In the hadith which we quoted, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, اِتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتْ, that adopt this quality of taqwa wherever you are. Like in the month of Ramadan, the person, when he was in front of his parents, the food came there, he was fasting, he didn't eat. When he went quietly in the kitchen, nobody was there, he was fasting, he didn't eat. When he went into his business, there was access to some food, perhaps he had it. Some people have fridges in their office, the food and drink was available, but he didn't have it. So in whichever environment he was, he exercised this quality of taqwa, he didn't violate the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. In the same way, out of the month of Ramadan, whether a person is in front of his ustad, in front of his sheikh, in front of his parents or not, whether the person is in, that's why Hazrat Shaki Makhtar Sahib, he says, jis jaha mein rahu, jis fiza mein rahu, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. That wherever I am, whichever environment I find myself, and Hazrat Mohinul Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, whether the person is in the train, whether the person is in the rail, or whether the person is in a crane, wherever he may be, it always this taqwa must remain safe and sound. My taqwa must not be disturbed, it must not be destroyed. Allah protect my taqwa, this asset of taqwa that I have acquired. I gave Jummah Bayan the other day, and I mentioned that when a person acquires an asset, any asset, then one of the important aspects, especially in South Africa, will relate very well to it, that when we acquire some asset, then we are concerned about the protection of that asset. The person buys his first car. Now he knows here in South Africa, they'll steal it, they'll hijack it, especially if it's one of those cars that are, hijacked more often. So now there's always the concern that this car must not be hijacked. Sometimes they steal the mags, then they steal the tires or something. So now the person, even the badges too here in South Africa, they'll steal. So the person, something or the other, he's worried. I need to park the car in a safe place. If he parks it in a place where there's the potential danger that something will get stolen, so he says, no, I'd rather park this side here. Even if it means me walking. But I'd rather park, it's a bit more safer here. the person will go and he'll install some alarm system or some tracking device is installed in that vehicle, and the person makes sure that the car is locked. The person makes sure he doesn't leave any valuables inside the car. So he's concerned about his assets and the protection of that asset. Alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, we make dua that Allah Ta'ala granted us to an extent this asset of this wealth of taqwa. But we also have to make sure that this taqwa is protected all the time. It is not, there is no compromise in this taqwa of ours. Always protect this taqwa. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ittaqillah, fear Allah Ta'ala wherever you are. Wherever you are. And then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. And thereafter, you should ensure that if you commit a sin, in fact, the time is already expiring, so we will terminate on this part, and inshallah, next week we'll continue. But that much, inshallah, if Allah Ta'ala grants us the ability, that we should make sure that in this month of Hajj, we don't engage in any of this fighting and quarrels. These are Mubarak days. And especially the month of Dhul-Hijjah coming very soon, the person focuses on the amal of Qurbani. Rather, the mind should be focusing in that. The mind should be now pondering over the sacrifice of Ibrahim ala Nabina alayhi salatu wasalam, which inshallah Allah will give us tawfiq, we'll discuss it. So these things now, a person makes sure that he protects. And the very coming to these sort of programs, inshallah, will give us some level of protection. Inshallah, it will give us some level of protection and give us that realization that inshallah this is an asset which we have acquired, which is far more valuable than any of the assets of this temporary world. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq to protect these assets, and may Allah Ta'ala increase it and give us more of these valuable assets of the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Make some zikrullah, inshallah. Recite Durud Sharif. Salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina. La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نفس شيطان دونوں نے مل کر ہائی کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ. خواجہ عزیز الحسن مزوب رحمۃ اللہ علیہ mentions in these couplets that, oh Allah, these enemies of nafs and shaitan, the ego and shaitan, they have formed a coalition, they've ganged up against me, and they are trying to destroy me and drag me down the gutters of shame and humiliation. And then he makes a dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh my Mawla, oh my Allah, you protect me against these enemies of nafs and shaitan. He then further says that, Ya Allah, from your entire creation, I am the weakest, I am the lowest, I am the most insignificant. But O Allah, just as I am the weakest and the most sinful, Ya Allah, you are the most forgiving, therefore forgive all my sins. نفس شیطان دونوں نے مل کر آئی کیا ہے مجھ کو تباہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ اے میرے مولا میری مدد کر چاہتا ہوں میں تیری پناہ مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو بد کردار نہ مسیحا مجھ سا خلق میں کوئی نہیں گو بد کردار نہ مسیحا تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ تو بھی مگر غفار ہے یا رب بخش دے میرے سارے گناہ اب تو رہے بستاد میں آخر ورد زبان اے میرے الہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ لا الہ الا اللہ محمد رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah 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 La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك انت كما اثنيت على نفسك يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين فإنك إن تكلنا إلى أنفسنا تكلنا إلى ضعف وذنب وخطيئة وعورة O كريم الله رحيم الله most forgiving, most loving, most caring Allah Ya Allah, we have gathered here tonight to remember you, Ya Allah O Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah Fill our hearts with your remembrance, Ya Allah O Allah, fill our hearts with your ma'rifah, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with your ishq and your love, Ya Allah. O Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. O Allah, on this Mubarak night, Ya Allah, of Jum'ah, Ya Allah. O Allah, forgive each and every one of us, Ya Allah. O Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. We are extremely sinful servants of yours, Ya Allah. O Allah, we have violated so many of your commands, Ya Allah. But O Allah, you have been such a Halim, Allah. You are such a Kareem Allah. You are such a loving Allah. You are such a caring Allah. Allah, you have brought us from non-existence into existence, Ya Allah. Allah, you have blessed us with Iman, Ya Allah. Allah, you have selected us and chosen us to be from the Ummah, from the Mubarak and the blessed Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah, we didn't make any registration. We didn't make any application. Only out of your sifat of Kareemi, Ya Allah. Though we did not deserve it, Ya Allah, you have granted us all these bounties and ni'mat, Ya Allah. But yet, Ya Allah, despite granting us so many bounties, O Allah, we use these very bounties to violate your commands, Ya Allah. O Allah, lekin hum nadim hai, Ya Allah. We are remorseful, we are regretful, Ya Allah. We are not justifying any sin that we may have committed, Ya Allah. It is never too late, Ya Allah. The doors of Tawbah are wide open, Ya Allah. It is the Mubarak months of Hajj, Ya Allah. Allah, due to the Mubarak nature of the Mubarak months of Hajj, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us all, Ya Allah. Forgive our major sins and our minor sins, Ya Allah. Those sins which you committed knowingly or unknowingly in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. You love to forgive the sinners who raise their begging bowls before you, Ya Allah. Allah, we have a mountain of sins, Ya Allah. But, O Allah, it is nothing for you. Even if our sins are more than the grain of sand on earth, Ya Allah. If our sins are more than the leaves of the trees of this world, Ya Allah. Just one drop from your ocean of forgiveness, Ya Allah, is sufficient to wipe away the sins of the entire mankind, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive our parents and children, Ya Allah. Forgive our spouses, Ya Allah. Forgive our brothers and sisters, Ya Allah. Allah, forgive the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, alleviate the suffering of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with the best of dunya and the best of akhirah, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the tawfiq to fulfill the rights of all those who have rights upon us, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with the quality of taqwa, Ya Allah. Ame musaffa, mujalla, give us clean, purified hearts, Ya Allah. Our hearts are full of malice, Ya Allah. Of greed and enmity, Ya Allah. Of hatred and pride, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, a feeling of uniqueness, Ya Allah. Who are we, Ya Allah? We are absolutely nothing in front of you, Ya Allah. You are the Khaliq of the seven heavens in the earth, Ya Allah. You are Rabbul Arshil Azim, Ya Allah. You are the Rabb of the mighty throne, Ya Allah. You are the Rabb of Jibreel, alayhi salam, Ya Allah. We are absolutely nothing in front of you, Ya Allah. Bless us with humility, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with generosity, Ya Allah. Allah, bless us with a loving heart, Ya Allah. Bless us with a kind heart, Ya Allah. Allah, purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Bless us with the noble and beautiful akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, if we have violated the rights of any individual, Ya Allah. Allah, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to make amends, Ya Allah. To change our lives, Ya Allah. Allah, our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day, Ya Allah. Umrah ho rahi hai mithl barfakam. Umrah ho rahi hai mithl barfakam. Chubke, chubke. Rafta, rafta, dam ba dam. Ya Allah, our lives are melting away, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we don't know how many days or weeks or months we have of our lives left, Ya Allah. We have seen how suddenly, Ya Allah, the visa of life expires, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, before the time of death comes, Ya Allah, take us to Madinah Sharif, Ya Allah. At the Rawdah Mubarak of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa da salatu wa salamu alayka, Ya Rasool Allah. Oh Allah, cause our souls to depart, Ya Allah. Lekin agar muqaddar nahi hai, to jaha bhi ho, Ya Allah, barakat wali maut nasib farma, Ya Allah, wherever it may be, give us a death of barakat, Ya Allah. Do not let the angel of death find us in any sin, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, when the time of death comes, Ya Allah, and before the time of death comes, Ya Allah, before the waters of ghusl are poured of our body, Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq to pour the waters of tawbah of our hearts, Ya Allah. Before that kafan, Ya Allah, and our body is enshrouded by the kafan, Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq, Ya Allah, to cover our bodies with the libas of taqwa, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, let that day be the best day of our lives, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, oh Allah, those who have not gone for Umrah, Ya Allah, take them from Umrah, Ya Allah. Those who have not gone for Hajj, Ya Allah, take them for Hajj, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we know people are complaining, Ya Allah, with all the restrictions and the cost, Ya Allah. But oh Allah, you are the one who takes, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we ask you, Ya Allah, oh, take us all, Ya Allah. Rang laengi kab meri aahe, rang laengi kab meri aahe. پھر مدینے کی جانب کو جائے جب نظر آئے وہ سبز گنبد کہہ کے صلی علی جھوم جائے. Ya Allah, the Ashik of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the lover of Madina Sharif, Ya Allah, when his eye falls on that green dome, Ya Allah, جب نظر آئے وہ سبز گنبد کہہ کے صلی علی جھوم جائے, he goes or she goes into a state of ecstasy, Ya Allah, and automatically durood and salawat comes upon the lips, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, why should we not love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved us so dearly, Ya Allah, he sacrificed for us, Ya Allah, he sacrificed his blood, his Mubarak blood for us, Ya Allah, he sacrificed his sleep for us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, he cried and cried for the sake of his ummah, Ya Allah. Allah, when on the day of judgment, Ya Allah, a mother will run away from her child, Ya Allah. A brother will run away from the brother and sister, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, parents will run away from children. Children will run away from parents, Ya Allah. Every Nabi will be saying, Ya Rabbi, nafsi, nafsi. Ya Allah, on that day of Qiyamah,
My Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be saying, Ya Rabbi, ummati, ummati. Ya Allah, he will cry for his ummah, Ya Allah. This is the love that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had for his ummah, Ya Allah. O Allah, fill our hearts with the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fill our hearts with the love for Medina Sharif, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love for the tilawat of the Quran Sharif, Ya Allah. Fill our hearts with the love for deen, Ya Allah, in salah, Ya Allah, in your obedience, Ya Allah. O Allah, make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. If you become ours, Ya Allah, everything is ours, Ya Allah. But O Allah, if you are not ours, Ya Allah, then nothing is ours, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us, Ya Allah, with the best of dunya and the best akhirah, Ya Allah. Give us barakat in our homes, Ya Allah. Barakat in our wealth, Ya Allah. Barakat in our time, Ya Allah. Barakat in every single bounty that you have granted us, Ya Allah. O Allah, accept these programs, Ya Allah. Take this madrasa from strength to strength, Ya Allah. O Allah, produce the Ghazalis, the Rumis, the Bukharis of the time from this institute, Ya Allah. Let this institute be a sadaqah jariyah, Ya Allah, for all those who are involved, Ya Allah, especially our Hazrat Mu'ayyin Usab, Rahmatullah Ali. O Allah, fill his grave with noor, Ya Allah. O Allah, all those who have shown kindness to us, Ya Allah. O Allah, all those who have been kind to us, Ya Allah. Whoever it may have been, Ya Allah. Our Asatiza, Ya Allah. Our Apas, Ya Allah. O Allah, reward them the best of rewards, Ya Allah. Those who have passed away, Ya Allah, fill their graves with noor, Ya Allah. Many have lost their near and dear ones, Ya Allah. O Allah, make their graves gardens from the gardens of Jannah, Ya Allah. O Allah, fill their graves with noor, Ya Allah. اللهم اغفر لجميع موتى المسلمين الذين شهدوا لك بالوحدانية ولنبيك بالرسالة وماتوا على ذلك. O Allah, accept us all for the khidmat of your Mubarak deen, Ya Allah. O Allah, all the works of deen that are taking place, accept it, Ya Allah. O Allah, unite the hearts of the workers of deen, Ya Allah. Unite the hearts of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah, protect us from quarrels and arguments and fights, Ya Allah. O Allah, bless us with a life of sukoon, Ya Allah. O Allah, protect us from oppressing anyone. And O Allah, protect us from being oppressed from others, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us, Ya Allah, O Allah, a life of sukoon, Ya Allah. O Allah, you are well aware all the good desires of all those who have raised, Ya Allah, their hands, Ya Allah, the men folk, the women folk, the little children who are with us, Ya Allah, the elderly amongst us, Ya Allah. O Allah, fulfill all their good desires and their aspirations, whatever challenges, difficulties, sicknesses they are going through, Ya Allah, you know very well, Ya Allah, you alleviate it, Ya Allah. بفضلك وجودك وكرمك يا أكرم الأكرمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.